Bibles, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 15, please. 1 Kings chapter number 15. I want to preach a message to you on your personal walk with Jesus Christ. I know and hate to sound like a broken record. I hate to keep repeating myself and repeating myself and repeating myself, but Lord willing, I repeat myself from different texts with different points, so it doesn't feel like the same message. But I don't think there's any more pertinent message right now in this day and age than that message. You are going to see that this world is going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible said. And again, I reiterate the point to you, and I'm going to keep reiterating this point for a little while. I don't know that I really have to, because this church has really proven itself to be a solid church. You have just thrilled my soul with your faithfulness and your stability and your excitement about getting back in church and all that stuff. It's just been a blessing to me, man. And I think a time like this proves your salt. It proves that you got the right foundation, you got the right motives, and that's a blessing. But I will say this, I want to continue to reiterate this point because it's important to grab a hold of and not forget. We are waiting for nothing, okay? We're not waiting for the temple to be built in Jerusalem. We're not waiting for some kind of great thing to happen and all the nations of the world to turn against Israel and begin to, you know, attacking Israel. And there's nothing we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. The only thing that has to happen is the trumpet has to sound. And that trumpet can sound any moment of time, any split second. I have taught you and taught you and taught you and taught you to the point of nauseam that God, Jesus Christ, could have returned in Acts chapter 7. That's Bible doctrine. And everything would have been fulfilled. The Lord has this thing set up to where it's in His power, and when He's ready, He comes. Period, the end. What He told us is that in the last times, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. There's a spiritual thing happening, and it's happening all around this world right now. I'll mention to you what I mentioned to you this morning. I mentioned to you this morning that now there's protests going on in foreign countries. That is the most bizarre thing in the world to me. We get in the car, we're on our way to church tonight, and up there by the Kroger in Pinckney, of all places, Pinckney, Michigan. I mean, I love my home. I'm thankful for my community and all that stuff, but what a weird name, Pinckney. I mean, like, it's just strange to me. I also have always had great joy in Howell. It's like, you know, Howell. It's like, this is where the rednecks live, I guess. They're right next door to us. I live there. I can say that, okay? I'm not bashing. But, I mean, Pinckney, Michigan, all the police brutality out there, it's just been insane. I mean, the times that I've gotten pulled over, the cop that I cut off just not long ago, didn't even mean to cut him off. I was turning left, pulling out of Kroger, and I was in a big hurry. Something had to happen. I don't know what. Maybe I was hungry, probably something like that. And the guy in front of me was out in the middle of the intersection, and it was yellow, so he had a right to turn. Well, I was behind him, and I figured, well, he's got him stopped already, so I'm golden. So I just jumped on his little exhaust pipe there, just kind of, whoosh, we just rode his exhaust through that intersection, not looking at the fact that on the left-hand side right there was a Pinckney police officer. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't good. He pops his lights on. He pulls me over. This was just last summer or fall. He comes around to the side of my passenger side of my, he says, you know why I pulled you over, sir? I said, yeah, because I'm stupid. I said, really, I was totally wrong. I know what I did and I'm wrong. And he's like, yeah. And he said, can I have your driver's license? I need to just make sure there's no warrants. I'll be right back. I gave him my driver's license. He comes back to the car. Oh, first I said, I have a CPL. I don't have any firearms on me at the time. He said, I'm not worried about it. He said, give me your driver's license. So he comes back to the window, hands me the driver's license. And he says, all right, just so you know, the guy in front of you was fine, but you can't do what you did. You technically ran the light. I said, yeah, I know, and it's kind of embarrassing. I'm 42. I was 41 years old. I said, I know better, and I feel really stupid. He said, let's relax, man. We all make mistakes. No big deal. Just don't do it again. I said, thanks. He said, where do you train? I said, huh? He said, where do you train? I saw your ears. And we had a nice conversation about jiu-jitsu. Tell you, those police officers, they're horrible, man. So this genius was kneeling out in front of Kroger on our way to church. I think he had like two whiskers. I think there was one here and one there he was really proud of, and even though they went opposite directions, a little gel might make it look a little bit more like Luke's. You know what I mean?
And he's sitting there and he's got his little thing on his knee. And he's got a sign about the police. And he's looking at all the cars driving by. And I wanted to get out of the car and say, look, okay, nothing personal, okay, son? I'm plenty old enough to be your dad. I'm going to take my belt off. I'm going to beat the snot out of you. I'm going to show you a little pastoral brutality, a little dad brutality you didn't get growing up. And when I'm done whooping the snot out of you, you're going to grow up and become a man. Because it's completely insane. I am not saying that what happened to George Floyd's okay, and for all the 1% of guys out there that are dirtbags, they need to go to jail, electric chair, whatever else. That's 1% in reality, maybe 5% tops. What's going on in the world today is a spirit. Do you understand? When it spreads the globe and starts hitting foreign countries that have nothing to do with the U.S., their police systems aren't the same. I have been to Mexico where when we called the police, relax, I'm not going crazy on the news, just hang on a minute, I'm making a point. When we called the police, we could not open the door to the police, and we called the police because we needed help. Because you can't open the door to the police because the gangsters have police department in their pocket, and they pay the police. The police get there. It's the policia. You open the door. They let the gangsters in. They get in the car and leave because they got paid off. Where when you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, it can turn into 1 and 2 hours where you start negotiating with the police where he's working you without coming out and saying it. He's working the system to get you to buy him off, to bribe him. That's how they live. Ask Miss Lisi. So why is it that other places in the world are protesting our... It's a spirit thing. Do you understand? There's a demonic spirit working in this world. And what is happening is all the religions are jumping on board with this thing. Because the religions of the day are not led by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're led by marketing the sheep like we preached about this morning. So what you and I need to grab a hold of tonight, I mean, we really need to get a hold of this. You need to grab a hold of the most important thing in the world, because if you don't get a hold of the most important thing in the world, you will be led astray by the spirit of the world that you're in. Wasn't it amazing this morning when they got done singing Bow the Knee? That, I mean, I'm standing back there and there was something going on in this room that was not human. It was not two teenage girls and one preteen girl. We got to put that in, preteen, that's important. If you don't have preteens, you'll understand how important that is in a few years. And if you are old past that, remember how important that was. Amen. And they're over here, they're just singing. They're just trying to sing to the Lord. It's not about what they were doing or the personalities or the human beings. The Holy Spirit of God was doing something in this room because it's been a real long time since you've come into this room and just got to tune all that out and push all that noise in your head out, all that dirty pool of Bethesda, all that mess out of your head just a little bit, and let the Spirit of God remind us that there's something we ought to bow to. We ought to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, not the political or news media pressure of the day. You're bowing the knee to something, son. You don't know what you're bowing to. It's a devil you're bowing to. You better be careful. Most important thing you and I can learn is that the most important thing is our personal walk with Jesus Christ. Here's an example in this passage of a man who should have known better. Just like you and I should. In verse number 1, now in the 18th year of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem, to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. What a sad story. Here's a story of a man whose dad was Rehoboam, his grandpa was Solomon, his great-grandpa was King David. He had the examples before him of how to do it and how not to do it. He saw what happens when you do things right. He saw what happens when you do things wrong. And with all that in front of him, he still makes the most asinine and stupid mistake anybody could ever make, which was this. Look at what happened with him. He walked in all the sins of his father. Okay, that's what he did. But why did he do what he did? Look at the verse. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Why did he walk the way he walked? Because his heart was wrong. I am telling you tonight, the most important thing in this world nobody can see but God. Nobody knows but Jesus Christ. You don't have to be wise. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to have gifts and talents and abilities. You need more than anything in the world a faithful heart. A heart that loves Jesus Christ. A heart that is given to God. A heart that walks with Him. A heart that longs for Jesus Christ every day of your life. You ought to get up in the morning and say, God, I need you this morning. Don't let this day pass without your presence. I want to walk with you. I need you today. Government can shut down church, but they can't shut down your heart. Unless they do it physically, then they just promote you. It was a you that said to me this morning, you're threatening us with a good time? Amen. That's all they got. They want to shut your heart down, stop that thing that ticks and moves the circulator. You're just threatening me with a good time, man. Out of here. That's fine with me. Your heart's the most important thing in the world. Your walk with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. Now, why in the world would anybody choose to walk away from a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's insane. Particularly in the context here this evening, it is truly mind-boggling. It's hard to grasp a hold of how this man, with all the good examples in front of him, with all the bad examples in front of him, wouldn't stop for a second. I mean, a man who's got the education, the power, the political oomph that he has to be a king. He's not a chump. He's got all the best of the best given to him right from the beginning. How in the world could he be so insane as to not stop for a moment and say, I'm not going to use my power or my position to gratify my flesh, to satisfy myself. I'm going to use what God's given me to walk with God and help other people walk with God. I want his blessing, not his curse. Why? I'm asking you, why? Why would people come to church week after week, month after month, year after year, with the wrong motives in their heart? Why would people come and sit in a church like this where the Bible's preached and never grab a hold of the fact that they need to love the Bible? I mean, love it. I mean, learn to love it. It bothers me. It's because you got a wicked heart. Learn to love reading the Word of God. Teach yourself to love that book. Teach yourself to be addicted to that book. Listen, when God starts speaking to you out of the pages of that book, it gets exciting. When you got something going on in your life, I mean, it literally happened to me this morning. The dreams of my heart troubled me like Daniel. I got up in the morning and I opened my Bible and I got to reading something. I ain't telling you what it was. None of your business. I ain't telling you what I dreamed. We ain't that close. That's just weird. And if you were in my dream, I'm especially not going to tell you now because that makes it even more weird. I dreamed about you last night. Get away from me, man. I got a wife. I'm good. When I opened up that book and I started reading this morning, you wouldn't believe the miraculous peace of the voice of Jesus Christ in the pages of an archaic King James Bible. It's just hard to understand. Well, get an education by reading it.
I know a man, and there's other people in this room that know the same man that learned how to read at 38 years old by reading a King James Bible with Alexander Scorby tapes playing. What's your excuse again? Read that book. When God starts speaking to your heart from the Bible, man, it'll do something for you. Unless your heart is just not perfect with God. How's my heart perfect with God? By making my relationship with Jesus Christ the most important thing on the planet. Here's a man who, he didn't have a good walk with the Lord at all. But you know what's strange? He knew how to talk the talk. And talking the talk does not mean you're walking the walk. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Keep your finger here in 1 Kings 15 and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 13, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. We're going to start in verse number 4. 2 Chronicles 13, 4. You know what drives me nuts? In Christianity, you'll notice a lingo, like a, I wouldn't call it an accent, but that would be like a kind of a neat illustration. There's like a lingo that develops among church people. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm really not, and I'm definitely not talking about any of you because I haven't picked up on that here, okay? But let me make this point. So I said that because I don't want you to take it personal. I'm not attacking anybody. But there have been times when I've just felt awkward talking to saved people. Brother, 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 brother. I mean, like, my mom ain't your mom. Now, wait a second. I call you brother all the time. Because we understand that we're brothers in Christ. Sometimes it has authenticity to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are other times when somebody says it and it was like, that was awkward. You know why? Because talking the talk doesn't mean you're actually walking the walk. Just because you learn the lingo of the culture, churches will develop a certain culture, certain acceptable things and unacceptable things that mean you've arrived or have. You know what I love about our church? And my daughters have even observed this. We've traveled around a little bit and been to other places. They've observed this about this church particularly. Like, you know what's neat about our church? Not everybody does, thinks, acts the exact same way. In a healthy family, you'll have, okay, for us, we have four little ones. Well, they're not all the exact same way. They're not little soldiers sitting in a line, all walking and talking and just the exact same jokes, the exact same mentality, the exact same mindset. Now we have the same standard in our home and we agree on that. Great conversations because we're like-minded. There's the same spirit, but there's individuality among the ranks. Do you understand that? My preacher said the Bible will make a rugged individual out of you. The Bible does not produce little factory processed, that's religion. We all walk and talk and act the same way with this rhythm of if you're in this club and this clique, you got to know how to talk and you got to know how to act. And we can talk the talk, but that doesn't mean you're walking the walk. Praise the Lord for the King James Bible. Amen. I'm just thankful I'm in a King James Bible believing church. Yeah, have you read it this week? Or did you just pick it up because you were coming to a King James Bible believing church, boy? Shh. Something about you is just awkward. Something about you is just kind of weird. Something about you just ain't ringing true. I think you're a put-on. I think you're a fake. I think when I look at your eyes, I'm seeing nothing but a little veneer. There's nothing behind that. I'm calling you out. Why? Because talking the talk doesn't mean you're walking the walk. You can show up on Sunday, scream amen or not scream amen. Either way, I like it, by the way. We were talking on the way home. Our church is getting more and more vocal as time goes on. That's a blessing, man. I'm telling you, you're putting more fuel in my fire. Amen. That's a blessing. Keep it up. But I'm just saying, amen, brother, doesn't mean you're necessarily right with God. It could mean it's a bit of a cover for what's actually going on. This man knew how to talk the talk. Look at him in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 4. Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaram, which is Mount Ephraim. And he said, hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, which is me. That's what he's saying. By a covenant assault. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men and children of Baal, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude. And there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam your God made you for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be priest unto them that are no gods? What in the world, man? This old boy can preach. Did you hear me? He can preach. Just because you can preach at other people doesn't mean you walk with Jesus Christ like you should. Well, that didn't go over very good. Just because you can preach at others does not mean you're walking with Jesus Christ. Just because you can see their faults and you're right about him. He was right. Everything he said was right. By his preaching, you would say, man, that guy is on fire for the Lord. That guy's got it. He's serving God. He's serious about the Lord. But he wasn't. He was just speaking the truth because right now the truth was advantageous to what he was trying to accomplish because he wanted the whole kingdom and somebody else had it. So he was using God and the Bible for his own advantage. Just because you can talk the talk doesn't mean you're walking the walk. Just because you can preach and point out other people's failures. Look at verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 13. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also they set in order upon the pure table. The candlestick of gold with the lamps are to burn every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. Just because you can point out other people's faults accurately doesn't mean you're close to the Lord. Just because you're going through all the proper rituals doesn't mean you're close to the Lord. Just because you're opening your Bible and burning through your four chapters a day, which will get you through it in a year, doesn't mean you're close to the Lord. So what makes me close to the Lord? Folks, I'm trying to tell you this evening that being a part of a Bible-believing church that has sound doctrine is crucial, crucial to your life. Being here tonight is very important for you. You came this morning, you came back tonight. Why? For more Bible. Very important to your longevity, spiritually speaking. But I'm trying to tell you there is no such thing as a lucky charm. I went to church Sunday night, I'm close to Jesus. I picked up my Bible and read four chapters, I'm close to Jesus. There's no such thing as a lucky charm in walking with God. The problem is, the issue is your heart. You know how people wind up in adultery? You don't wake up one morning and fall into sin. Hey, you don't wake up one morning and fall into sin all of a sudden, just like, oh, everything was great, me and Jesus were close, and boom, I just don't know what happened. My dad taught me when I was a teenage boy, some of you dads can steal this for your sons. If a bird flies over your head, it ain't your fault. If it makes a nest in your hair, it's because you weren't doing nothing about it. Hello. You know what the problem is? The problem is your heart. That's the problem. And a lot of times other people can see it before you can. If I had a dime for every time a woman told her husband, you got a drinking problem, and he said, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. If I had a dime, a lot of times other people can see it. But when your heart isn't walking with Jesus Christ, you can't hear the truth even when you're the one screaming the truth. I think I need to say that again. When your heart isn't for Jesus Christ, you can't hear the truth even though you're the one screaming the truth. You know what the root of all those problems are? Every single one of them. The wicked ways, every single root goes right back to the fact that the man's heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. He just didn't love God and make his relationship a priority like he should have. I've seen entire churches rattled by preachers that mess up. And it crushes me. It breaks my heart. You come to me and tell me, hey, did you hear about brother so-and-so? He messed up. He's out of the ministry. He cheated on his wife. He whatever else you might want to come up with. I don't want to hear it. And I don't have anything to say. Well, aren't you going to say he's a dirtbag? Aren't you going to say he's wicked? Aren't you going to say he should have got the birds out of his hair? That he just was letting them build it? All that could or couldn't be true. I'm not God. All I know is I'm not messing with it. I will preach all day long against guys that teach and preach false doctrine because that's demonic.
preachers that go after your money, that stuff's demonic. But when a man messes up in sin, that's human nature. You understand? That's human nature. I don't rejoice in that. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not happy about it. I don't even care if he's my enemy. I want to cry. I literally want to cry. I know the fallout of that stuff. It doesn't satisfy my heart to hear brother so-and-so, since he's not from our camp, messed up. Nothing about my heart is like, well, see, now everybody knows I'm a man of God and he's not. It has nothing to do with your doctrine. It has nothing to do with your position. It has nothing to do with your club. It has to do with your heart. And it can happen to anybody if you don't keep your heart close to Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you love your wife and your children. I don't care how much you love your wife and your children. We just celebrated 18 years. It's kind of a long time, I think. Other people laugh at us and say that's nothing, but I'm proud of it. It's my 18 years. I managed to keep her barely, and that was a lot of work. I mean, it's hard, man. Living with me is hard. That's the point I'm making. Don't misunderstand my point. All kidding aside, I love her to death, but I know one thing 100% for sure. If my heart wanders away from Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save my soul from hell, who's spoken to me, who's helped me, who gave me her. He gave me her. That's how I got her. He gave me her. I wouldn't have her if I hadn't submitted to him. And when I submitted to him, it's a crazy thing in the world, man. It's the craziest, nuttiest, wackiest thing in the world. I'm getting ahead of myself in my message. But once I submit to him and stop doing wrong, he's like, all right, now I'm going to bless you. I deserve no blessing. I was just finally doing what I was supposed to do. Does that make sense, or did I lose you? I'm doing what I'm finally supposed to do. End of story. I've done what I owe you. I've given you what I owe you. I owe this to you. What are you talking about? I'm going to bless you. Yeah, I'm going to give you a wife that's going to back you. I'm going to give you a wife that's going to help you. I'm going to give you a wife that's going to be a benefit to your ministry. Not a gossiping woman who's on Facebook getting into everybody's business and causing all kinds of trouble in the church. I'm going to give you a wife that's going to help you. Hey, that's a blessing from God, but my love for my wife is not enough. I knew that. I've been around long enough. I've seen better men than myself mess up because somewhere along the line, their heart got off. You've got to learn to walk with God. You've got to make that first. Number one, when this man quit walking with God, you couldn't tell by what he was saying. You couldn't tell by the accuracy of his doctrine and the way he could preach to other people and all the stuff. He could talk the talk, man, but he wasn't walking the walk. What's your walk like? Number two, go back to our text in 1 Kings 15, please. Just because you're walking the talk and the talk doesn't mean you're right with God. And just because you're fighting the battle, you're in the war, I don't mean you're right with God. You see, verse 6, there was a war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Huh? Well, preacher, you know, I'm serving God. Well, whoop-de-doo, what do you want, a cookie? What do you want, I'm the preacher. I'm a minister. Okay, big deal. That don't make you holy, bro. I'm glad you're here tonight. I really am. I think it's unbelievably commendable. It's great to see your faithfulness, your willingness to come to church, the fact that some time off didn't make you kind of like lose interest in church, but instead it spurred your desire to be here. That shows your heart. I commend you. But I'm just saying, that pew doesn't make you spiritual. I'm fighting a battle, preacher. I'm passing out tracts, preacher. So, I hope you've noticed over the past few years, our approach around here, my approach in my preaching has been a little different. I'm not always trying to harp on you about knocking off your sin. Because I realize that if all I do is harp on you about knocking off your cussing and knocking off your drinking and knocking off your fornication, knocking off your www dot or whatever, it gets kind of cold sometimes. You know what I'm saying? If that's all I do, then one, I make your problems bigger in your own eyes because your eyes are all on your problems with it, which increases your temptation. Two, even if you void all that stuff from your life and start walking the walk and fighting the battle, that don't mean you're right with God. That don't mean something doesn't come in and fill that spot again. But if you and I will focus on getting our heart more and more right with Jesus Christ and walking closer and closer to Him, I'm telling you, the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the less you care to deal with that other stuff. Yet you lose your appetite. Listen, I hate heavy metal music. I hate all that fleshy, godless country music. Just that, you know what happens when you play the heavy metal music back? You hear devil messages and all that stuff, demons speaking to you and all that kind of stuff. When you play country music back, you get your house back, your car back, your wife back, your dog back, all the rest of that stuff. One of them's all about the devil and anger and rebellion and rage. The other one's all about the flesh, and then you got a mix of the two, and that's rap. You ever notice how fleshy they are? All about the flesh, just filthy, ungodly, immorality, putrid, godless, depraved garbage mixed with rebellion and all the other spiritual stuff. You ever hear that? See that? I hate that stuff. How many messages do I get up here and beat on you about what you listen to? You know why? Because if I can get you in love with Jesus Christ, when you put in that music, you're like, wait a second. What I just had in church, sorry guys. some of you blew your noses. You started laughing at me. You go, you know what? Why am I listening to that? That ain't nothing like bow the knee. I just kind of don't have a hunger for that stuff anymore. Matt, this soothes my soul. This gets me excited. This gets my mind right. This is what I want. I'm talking about your walk with Jesus Christ is the most important thing. It'll overcome everything if it begins to grow in your soul and mean something to you. It'll work all that other stuff out. I've been fighting against the enemies of God. So what? You know why some Christians witness with no power? All they ever do is run everybody off and make themselves an obnoxious nuisance to the lost. But they think they're godly because they're standing out on the corner and screaming at everybody. They're standing out on the corner with scripture signs. I'm not against either. I've done it all. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Not against it. But I'm trying to tell you, just fighting the battle doesn't make you a man of God. Walking with God and saying, you know what? I'm going to work on Mike. I'm going to get Mike where Mike needs to be. God, I want to walk with you. I am telling you right now, when the devil shows up, when the flesh shows up, when the world shows up with that awful, dark, and dirty temptation, and that flesh goes, that soul goes, yerno. And the Lord says, you want it, you can have it, but I'm out. You go, no, you know what? I don't think I want to pay that price. Oh, no. I'll say no to that because I've tasted the honey and I've tasted that bitter gall of sin. And I really like the sweet honey of Jesus. Now my strength for the battle, you wouldn't believe it, man. The technique is perfect. Most people live their whole life and never make it to that rank where you got something there that is a secret. How'd you do that? What did you just do? I can strike you so fast, you didn't even see my hand move. My dad used to tell me that when I was a kid. He said, I'm going to touch your nose. Are you ready? You didn't feel it, did you? No. You didn't see it. All you see was a little twitch, right? That's how good I am. That's awesome. Of course I believed him. He was my dad. What I'm saying is there can be some technique that is so simple that a child can get it. So powerful that the strongest, wisest, oldest, most mature man still learns to sharpen and use that technique. And it ain't fighting all the time. Some of you are fighting so much and you've been fighting for so long, you're wore out with it, you're discouraged, you're drugged down. And the problem ain't your willpower. The problem ain't that you're not trying. The problem is you haven't learned what the most important thing is. And the most important thing is giving your heart to Jesus Christ more fully today than it's ever been before. How in the world do you think you and I can ever get to a point where the God of eternity, while he's there and we're here in human bodies,
we've actually finally fulfilled the fullness of our relationship. One of the things the Lord showed me over the last few months is how far I have to go. That is such a painful lesson because of my stinking pride. But God has taken the time and my silence and an inability to preach and just writing outlines and studying through and just whatever here and there as I could, as I felt like it. I shouldn't say as I could, because I could, I had plenty of time. But I was like, I ain't pressuring nothing. I'm just going to let it flow, and it flows, and when it don't, now I'm good. But boy, God has showed me folks like I ain't seen in a long time how far I have to go. And I am thankful for that. You know why? It keeps it exciting. I guarantee you one thing, you ain't reached the top. Because if you did, your flesh would be in the grave and your spirit and soul would be with the Lord. You ain't made it yet. So guess what? There's more ground to get in walking with Jesus Christ. Don't forget, just because you're fighting the fight don't mean you're right. And just because God's blessing you in the fight and you seem to be having some success doesn't mean you're right with God. See, in verse number 4, he says, "Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem, to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem." You realize that sometimes God blesses you in spite of you?
Yes, sir.
That's my testimony. You got a testimony, preacher?
Yeah.
What is it? God's good? Okay, so how do I get God's blessing? Don't ask me. It beats the fire out of me, man. I will never forget at a pastor's school years ago, some guy sitting down across from me said, "I heard your church is growing." And I'm like, "Yeah." And back then, you know, I really thought that I was the next Billy Sunday. I hadn't had a few failures that have come my way since then. Failures I desperately needed, and I'm so grateful to God for today. So grateful. And he was, "So tell me what you do." And he was like, he was drilling me. He's wanting to know my schedule and when I get up in the morning and how I study and how much I pray and read my Bible and what programs I had at my church and door knocking and this, because he's this young in the ministry and just desperately wanting to build a work. Well, you know, since then, it hasn't panned out like I thought it was, but I thought I was big stuff back then because God had been real good and the church had been exploding. Things were happening. It was exciting. And I remember getting frustrated in that conversation because there was something I hadn't learned yet that I wasn't able to communicate to him. And I look back at it and I blush thinking about it. I'm just embarrassed of myself. You know what I've learned? Hey, brother, why has God been good to you lately? God's been good to us, man. I mean, God's been real good to us, and I got a feeling, you know, the sounds are going in the top of the mulberry trees. I think it's going to be pan out to be a pretty good year. I'm pretty sure if these visitors keep coming and more visitors keep coming like they have been, and I got a few, I got them to try to bring in the boat here not too far out. We're going to be using all these overflow chairs for more than social distancing. It was pretty good and full in here this morning. We were missing a bunch. That's a blessing, ain't it? Why is God blessing? Oh, because, you know, we got our doctrine right, and we got the King James Bible, and we got old-fashioned preaching, and we have hymns. You know, we don't have any like skinny jeans and guitars. Why is God blessing? Because he's merciful. Why is God blessing? Maybe for somebody else's sake. Maybe because old Jim Whitstock prayed for years over there in the South Lyon trailer park. Most of you don't even know him. Some of you guys remember him. Prayed for years for South Lyon. We opened the storefront, and old Jim Whitstock lived right there, and he'd drive around, he'd come in. 70 years old, you see him jogging up and down, 70-something. He'd be running up and down the streets in South Lyon, staying in shape. Little guy about my size, real skinny. He's always staying in shape. He was just a sweet, gentle, passive old man. He's kind of the old man, type of old man I hope I am someday. Just a sweet guy, man. You wanted to hug him. He's like grandfatherly. And he'd come in, he'd say, "Pastor, I have prayed for years for a Bible-believing church in South Lyon. And then there you are, right in my backyard." Sometimes I wonder if we're not God's answer to somebody else's prayers.
Yes, sir.
God's blessing this boy and letting him stay in there in spite of his wicked self because God had some respect for David. Can I tell you God blesses you, Christian, because God has some respect for his son, Jesus Christ? I think some of my blessings have absolutely nothing to do with me, but they have everything to do with the Son of God. And so I don't think I can find anything in this world that's more important than how close I am to his son. I don't think there's anything on his agenda that is higher ranking than how does Mike Jasper Reagan feel about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know that there's anything more important. I don't know that how hard I fight the battle and how hard I preach and all the rest of that stuff. I don't know about any of that mattering. How many hours I spend in Bible study and how many hours I spend in prayer and how many hours I spend in witnessing and how many hours I spend in counseling. And I don't know that any of that stuff matters to God nearly like how much does he love my son. Do you see that if I love his son, I'll be in the book as much as I'm supposed to be? I will pray as much as I'm supposed to pray. And that does not mean I'm supposed to pray all day long without doing anything else. That's not a great way to build a marriage. That's a great way to get divorced. You haven't spoken to me in weeks because I'm godly. I'm not talking about getting whacked out and weird like some people get. But I'm saying making my relationship with Jesus Christ the most important thing in the world and ensuring that that's the first thing on my agenda and that then throughout my day that relationship stays close and nothing comes in the way that's going to dampen that walk, that is the most important thing in the world and that will direct my steps so that my walk will begin to be what it ought to be because my heart was in the right place from the beginning. And it don't take long to get out on just all off in left field. The last thing and I'm done. Being aware of your failures isn't an excuse to stop walking with Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Because some of you are very aware of your failures. And other people around you are very aware of your failures. They're never going to let you forget. Because they got the wrong spirit. I don't know what spirit it is. I ain't there. I can't see the spirit world. But every once in a while, I wonder, are you speaking to me because you're just that messed up? Or is the devil speaking to me through you? Well, we know how you are, brother. Here we go again. You know what I'm thankful for about the Lord? He knows how I am. And he still loves me. It's very interesting that in verse number 5, it's the only time in the Bible that God ever brings up David's sin after he was forgiven for it. What's it say right there? It's talking about his walk, and he said, hey, his heart was perfect toward me. He always walked after me, save in the matter, I wasn't approving the matter of the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Isn't that interesting that God only brings it up one time when he's trying to instruct us and warn us about how to walk the right way? And he was saying that man's heart was perfect, but there was a day he got up. He got a little lazy in his kingdom, in his ministry, in his life, in his walk, because things had been going real smooth. And instead of being where he was supposed to be, which was not fasting and praying for the battle in the palace, at that moment he was supposed to be out in the field with the guys. Hang on. He learned that lesson so well because he was so heartbroken about the loss of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you've read the Psalms, right? How the man's crying out, remember not the sin of my youth, and how he was just overwhelmed with what he had done because he had a close relationship that had been damaged by something he had done. Like I said this morning, your walk has to change if you want Jesus Christ to continue showing up in your life. So then he gets right, and he gets so right that as an old man, he's out there and he's still, no, I'm going out to fight. And he almost dies because his strength is failing and he's getting up in age, but that old man wasn't going to quit. He was going to die on the battlefield before he would quit.
You know you're going to die? You think I care? Like, whether you agree with the guy's position or not, it's beside the point. I was cracking up at this 77-year-old barber in Michigan who said they're going to put him in jail. And he said, what are you going to give me, life? I'm 77 years old with one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. I don't care. I just love it, man. I mean, that's some salt in that old dog, man. I love it. That's just great. That's a great comment. I'm not making a political statement here. I'm just saying it's a great comment. I want to be like that for the Lord. Preacher, you're going to kill yourself. You're getting too old. Oh, man, I got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. What's the difference? Man, I want to die fighting. And his young guys came around and they said, no, we can't do without you yet. Old man, we need you. Now you trained us. We know how to wield the sword. We learned from the best. And not being braggadocious, but since we learned from the best, we can do the job, okay? Now we know we can do the job. We're not kids anymore, but we're still young and we're still strong. So just put your arm around my shoulders, old man. Hey, help me, bro. We're going to carry the old man back to the castle and we're going to put him up in there. And now we need you just to take care of yourself, because when we need help and some counsel, we're going to come to you, because you forgot some stuff we ain't learned yet. So we need you, but we need you in a different role. And then he retired from the battle. My point, David learned from his mistake and never repeated it. But David didn't use his mistake as an excuse to quit walking with God like some of you do. Well, I'm just nothing, and I've just messed up so many times, and I just can't even 1 John 1:9 again, because I've 1 John 1:9 so many times, I just can't, when does it stop working? It don't stop working if your heart's right. If you're getting your heart right again, it don't stop working. He forgives. He's faithful and just even when you ain't. The text ain't talking about you being faithful and just. It's talking about him being faithful and just. He's faithful and just even when you're not. So you go back there again and you get it right again. Why? Because your failures are not an excuse to quit walking with the Lord. Your failures are proof to you that you need to get right again. That's all. They're not an excuse to stop serving Jesus Christ. If I quit serving the Lord every time I failed, I'd have quit serving the Lord a very, very long time ago. Remember this. It's something you may want to write down, unless you can memorize it. God will fellowship with a man who has sin in his nature, but God will not fellowship with a man who has sin in his heart. Do you understand that? Memorize that. Some things I don't have to write down, because when the preacher was preaching or speaking to me across his desk or walking around his yard or whatever it was, when he'd say something, the Holy Spirit had a way of burning it in my conscience, and I never forgot it. I can quote it exactly. God will fellowship with a man who has sin in his nature, but God will not fellowship with a man who has sin in his heart. The issue is your personal walk with Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer.